Welcome to Grumpy Strategists. This is episode 45, but it's really an emergency episode. You can probably hear that in the bunker here.
AUKUS review, red alert.
And the question, I suppose, is this the time to panic, or is there nothing to see here, or is it something between the two? Marcus, I know... Marcus Hellyer, our head of research, is here, and we've kind of got three categories to talk about, haven't we?
Well, look, first of all, I apologise if people have heard our take on this already. I think I'm up to 8 interviews on this. You're at 12 interviews. Yep. So if there is a single living Australian out there who hasn't heard our views on this issue, this is meant for you.
Well, and Le Monde readers and Nikkei Asia readers and Bloomberg. So our apologies. And also, if we're a little hoarse, that's because we've been doing so much speakerifying. Anyway.
But I will say that it does show a point we've made many times already. Australians are obsessed with submarines. Now, I have suggested at times we have a submarine fetish. Maybe that's going a little too far. But Australians are very interested in submarines in a way they have never been interested in any other military capability. The only thing that comes close is in some countries, their obsession with nuclear weapons, like Pakistan, willing to eat grass to get nuclear weapons.
I would say Australians are obsessed with the vibe of submarines without really knowing anything about them. So they love the vibe that they're this magical super weapon. I think they're just a weapon. And when they're nuclear powered but still carry conventional weapons, they're really a conventional platform. So I can't share the vibe.
Our political classes are certainly obsessed with submarines. We can say that.
So on this review.
Yes.
First of all, the government's boilerplate response. So when Richard Marles met with the new Pentagon chief, Trump's Pentagon chief, Pete Hegseth, back in February, and he had that large suitcase full of unmarked bills that he handed over to Pete, and Pete was happy to receive it.
As a contribution to the rebuilding of the US's submarine industrial base.
Yes. I think it might have been mistaken as a campaign donation, but hopefully Mr. Marles clarified that. Richard Marles came out of that meeting saying, "This is great. AUKUS is absolutely backed by Donald Trump. It's all systems go, not a problem." Then this review comes out just in early June, and it says, actually, this AUKUS deal has to be reviewed to see if it aligns with Trump's America First approach and to see if the two allies, the UK and Australia, are stepping up on collective defence. And Richard Marles comes out and tells everybody, actually, this is perfectly natural. Like it's just some thing that's happened in a park somewhere, or it's just a beautiful flowering of something. This was always going to happen, absolutely expected, nothing to see here. So I don't know how those two things fit together. Trump was absolutely comfortable as all systems go, and now we're doing this review to see some very big, important things.
Well, so Mr. Marles' response is the kind of standard Albanese government response to everything going on in the strategic policy world, which is, it's all business as usual, nothing to see here. Now, first of all, I would say this is different from the so-called Australian review. The government seems to say we've done a review of this, which I think that they mean the Defence Strategic Review, but its writing brief was, well, AUKUS is baked in. So it wasn't really a review.
Well, it was actually review everything else to see how it fits with AUKUS.
Yes, along with the surface fleet review. Again, it was how does the surface fleet need to be modified to fit in with our submarine plans. Yep. The UK is doing a review of AUKUS, but again, it wasn't a review of is this a good thing to do or not. It was, it's happening, how do we maximise the benefit of it, i.e. code for get more money out of the colonials.
And I love that about the UK. You know, they're open about their motive, and it really is, how can this support us doing what we want to do with our nuclear industry?
Yeah, so I think this US review, apparently to be led by the Hegseth's assistant, Elbridge Colby, sort of an old beltway hand who has found a new life as part of the MAGA machine, I think it is different because I'm not saying it's going to lead to the cancellation of AUKUS, but there are real factors that the Americans are concerned with. And I think there are three of them. So maybe we should go through those three. Yep. I'll put forward them one by one and you can tell me what you think. Yep. So number one, just the general Trump vibe, right? So Trump thinks that everything Joe Biden did was stupid, terrible, and incompetent. AUKUS is a product of the Sleepy Joe administration. So automatically, it's a bad thing as far as Trump is concerned. Now, Trump isn't necessarily saying we write it off, but he is thinking, I'm the great deal maker. We can turn a terrible deal for America into a great deal. So he's going to want to see a better deal. Part of that is his lieutenants, like Hegseth and Colby, know this about him. So even if they support AUKUS, they are thinking we got to go back to the Donald with something that he can show to the world to say he has made this a better deal.
Look, I think that is spot on. I think Trump defines himself by being the incredible deal maker. In fact, we've heard from people around him with things like the war in Gaza. You know, what's the plan to resolve this? What's the plan for the future? And their answer is, our plan is to get Donald Trump in a room and negotiate it, and he will just do a great deal. Well, what's the deal? No, the plan is we get him in the room and he negotiates. So he wants to be in the center of big decisions.
So he has to make it his deal, and it's a better deal.
And it's got to be different and better than what Sleepy Joe did.
Yep.
So I agree. That's a must do.
And whether that's coming from him or his lieutenants are reading the room going, we think AUKUS is a good thing, but we got to get Donald over the line. Not sure.
Well, I think if a part of the review is a ringing endorsement of Joe Biden's deal, it's not going to work.
With the deal staying exactly as it was.
Yeah, this is brilliant. This is a brilliant deal. Joe did a great job.
Number two, and we know that Elbridge Colby has on a number of occasions expressed concern about AUKUS around that inescapable fact that the US Navy is not going to have enough submarines to hand some over to the Australian Navy without taking a capability hit. So we know the US is short of submarines. Nothing that has occurred since AUKUS was announced or will occur between now and 2032, when Australia is meant to be getting its first submarine under the so-called optimal pathway, nothing that has occurred will increase the number of Virginia-class submarines in existence by 2032 than would have been the case in the pre-AUKUS plan. So despite the billions of dollars being pumped into the US submarine industrial base, the US will not have sufficient submarine. So Elbridge Colby has said, I'm very concerned that we will take a capability hit by going through with AUKUS. And he has also said, along with other senior Americans, this will be at a time when the Chinese threat is at its greatest. We want our submarines to be able to respond to that threat, yet the Australians refuse to commit. So we are weakening the US Navy to give submarines to Australia, and the Australians won't commit to supplying those submarines to help us in a potential conflict with China.
Well, and this is not just Elbridge Colby. He is able to draw on very accurate analysis by outfits like the US Congressional Research Service. So they have said in writing numerous times now that a key question for the US Navy, whoever's the Pentagon chief at the time and the US president at the time, it'd be beyond Trump unless he illegally stays in power, has to recognize that by giving Australia three Virginias in the 80s out of the US Navy's own fleet, which is the plan, the US Navy fleet takes a hit in numbers that it doesn't recover until 2040. And so you're right, over one of the most dangerous periods for America in the China-US military balance, the US Navy has to deliberately weaken itself to strengthen Australia.
And in fact, depending on US production rates and acquisition rates, that hit could last up to 2050. We also, Elbridge Colby, I'm sure, is also aware of what the actual production rate is. And we are as well, because we've seen the latest GAO, Government Accountability Office report, essentially its equivalent of the major projects report. And that they say on the Virginias, well, they need to get to 2.3 in order to be able to meet their own requirements and supply Australia with submarines. They're meant to be at 1.5 now. They've actually gone backwards in the last year from 1.2 to 1.15. So those billions of dollars have not yet shifted the dial.
Well, there's a big problem here too, I think. And this again requires honesty and knowledge in the public debate. I heard a former senior Australian official who was associated with AUKUS talking in the media this morning saying, it looks like America is turning the corner on submarine production rates. And I thought, Well, if they're turning a corner, they're going backwards. They're going back the way they came. So these assertions that everything's great are either deliberately misleading or just ignorant. And the real problem is the Americans have been trying to get the production rate up for years now, and it's now gone backwards. So the idea that the risk around submarine production is going anywhere but up is just not mathematically correct.
No, when we crunch the numbers, they got in the sort of post-Cold War peace dividend era, their submarine production rate fell to one a year. So one Virginia is about 7,800 tons a year. Now, for them to produce a Columbia-class SSBN, so the big ballistic missile submarines,
which is their priority.
Which is their priority, is their strategic nuclear deterrent. That's 20,000 tons, and they want to do roughly one of them a year. And then if you're doing 2.3 Virginias, and the Block 5 Virginias are bigger, they're over 10,000 tons, you need to be pumping through that pipeline, you know, essentially 40,000 tons of submarine a year from a base where they started of about 7 or 8,000 tons a year. So, and we're not their number one priority. So big problems there, which Elbridge Colby is right across. Now, we've also said a number of times, AUKUS is ultimately a political deal. It is a political arrangement. So theoretically, yes, the US, even though it hasn't hit its submarine target numbers, could still give us submarines because politically they think it's a good thing to do. But that gets us back to argument or issue number one, which is you got to convince the Donald that this is a good deal for the US. And at the moment, it's not looking like that, certainly, you know, in the next decade or so.
Well, on that political risk, I think the political risk is growing. And it's not just because America is changing. Sure, Donald Trump is not likely to be the president in 2032 getting advice from the US Navy about whether they think it's a good idea to hand over their submarines to Australia. However, the direction of America is pretty consistent, and it is in being more demanding and more selfish and more America first focused. And Australia's direction now is quite clearly differentiating ourselves in strategic and economic and other policy areas from America. In fact, the re-elected Labor government, the election campaign was an exercise in the Labor Party getting enormous domestic political value from distancing themselves from some of the crazy things about the Trump administration. So Mr. Albanese has spent lots of public time saying what he doesn't agree with about the Trump administration's directions. And the last thing he looks like is an even closer and more reliable ally.
Well, you've kind of stated issue number three there for us. So unless you're an Australian who's just arrived from Mars, you will be aware of this issue that's dominated sort of the media cycle for the last 2 weeks of Pete Hegseth, the US Defence Secretary, telling Defence Minister and Deputy Prime Minister, I believe, Richard Miles, that the US expects Australia to be spending 3.5% of GDP on defence. A message very consistent with what they have told America's European allies and now messaging to its Indo-Pacific allies. So yes, the US expects more. It's spending 3.5% to guarantee the security of its allies, and it wants its allies to step up. So what was Prime Minister Albanese's response to this request, Michael?
Well, I think he just blew it off. He said, Australians make decisions about what we spend, and we're not going to be dictated to by America, which is, again, this Trump distancing thing, very domestically popular. However, to me, it almost looks like self-harm. You know, I am so proud about my ability to make my own decisions. I'm going to make this very stupid decision, but it's my decision, so
I think it is a classic cutting off your nose to spite your face kind of argument. It's like, we need to spend more, but the US has asked us to send more, so we'll shove it up them and tell them to get stuffed and do ourselves self-harm. A, because we won't be spending the money we need to be spending, and B, we'll piss off our ally who has been guaranteeing our security. Is it a coincidence that 2 weeks ago, Pete Hegseth said the number is 3.5%. Albo said, get stuffed. And then now we have this review saying, we're going to look at this to see whether it maximizes the America First return. I do not think it is a coincidence.
And whether the two AUKUS partners, the UK and Australia, are stepping up on collective defence. That, to me, is about the budget. And this is where back to just simple mathematics. Any objective assessment of Australia's defence plans to get a technologically advanced conventional force, small numbers of very expensive things, and then add on to that a side serve of 8 nuclear submarines, and expect to do that from between 2 and 2.3% of GDP. That is crazy land.
It ain't happening.
It's not a point of national pride and sovereign power to have an irrational plan for your own security.
That is almost, in a sense, passive-aggressively blackmailing the US into footing the bill for us.
I'm demanding you let me keep free riding, and also you should weaken your own navy by helping me.
There's this weird irony here, because if we cast our minds back to 2021, just before AUKUS was announced, GOMO informed the then Labor opposition about it and gave them 24 hours to say, are you in or out? Well, it appears that the Labor leadership didn't want to get wedged on national security, so they signed up to it at short notice, and I suspect many of them were not really into the whole idea.
Yeah, they were sucking on a lemon, but they had to do it.
But now it's their problem. They own it. But guess what? They are now suffering the biggest wedgie imaginable, because the US is saying, okay, we're sick of this. We're sick of you freeloading. So Albo actually has to step up on defence or risk, you know, pissing off our number one security.
Well, actually, I predict he won't. What he wants to do, and you see this in some of the media reporting where the journos are obviously being briefed by Albo's office, actually he's being portrayed as absolutely masterful by avoiding meetings with Donald Trump and doing nothing. Because this is apparently extremely strategic and a stroke of genius to keep very still and do nothing. So he's actually just hoping all this will go away, and hopefully the AUKUS advocates in Congress and the Pentagon are going to make it all good, and he won't even have to mention it to the Donald until it's all over.
We're back in flight, fight or freeze land again. Yeah. There's this analogy that you like. Well, yeah, the strategy, as you've just gone over it, is freeze.
Yeah.
The problem with that is freeze is fine if the predator hasn't seen you yet. But if the predator is standing over you going yum, 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 freeze doesn't work very well. You've simply made yourself a fat, easy target. And so we've adopted that kind of freeze. A bit of a fight. It's like, we'll determine how much we pay, but basically freeze still.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think by reaping domestic political benefit out of differentiating from Trump, we've actually attracted much more attention, and the freeze thing, yep, it's a bad strategy when the mouse gets spotted.
Look, but it pays way well to the base.
Yeah. What I predict with this, though,
yes, okay, so what will come out of this?
Well, it's a 30-day review. Now, everything in Trump land, we've heard it's, you know, 60 days is 90 days, and there's been extensions all over the place. But by announcing it's a 30-day review, it's a quick and dirty thing. So I would be surprised if there was a cataclysmic cancellation that came out of this. However, I also predict that when the 30 days is up and there's a positive statement about we're still committed to AUKUS, but we're working through some stuff out of the Americans, there'll be this triumphal, you know, I told you so, everything's rock solid, it's all good, there was never a problem. I think that would be a mistake, because this is just one of many re-looks at this whole thing as the risks compound. So if this thing proceeds broadly unchanged after 30 days, that is not, and it's all over, we're good. Similarly, if there's big changes, they're probably not the last big changes.
Correct. So as we know, AUKUS is a very, very long process. So there will be multiple reviews. This thing will be subject to scrutiny in all kinds of ways, which is a good thing. Now, as we said, I don't think this is a tick and flick exercise like the DSR was, or the UK's its review of AUKUS. I think there is potential for things to come out of this. Now, they are not necessarily cancel it, but Trump may go, I want something really big. Now, there is the taco kind of factor with Trump. Trump always chickens out. And we've seen that in his policy. Sorry, yep, having a senior moment there. Made so you set the bar it really high, and you walk back from that as you negotiate something. Yeah. So who knows? Trump may go, it's all over. But then, you know, if we then pony up something, you know, whether it's more money into the industrial base, higher percentage of defense spending, whatever it is, Trump may walk
Could
back.
Be also-
You know, or it could be, it may sort of introduce a certain level of contingency into it, which is, we want to see you Australians do X, Y, and Z by a certain date, or things will slide. So that 2032 Ooh. Date, well, certain things have to happen by yeah. then on your side and on our side for this to well, happen. Otherwise, boat one becomes 2035.
Let's say a couple of those things or three of those things could be, so you're meant to be building an East Coast submarine base. Well, where is it going to be and have you started construction? Now, that's a long lead heavy lifting item. You're meant to have somewhere to store the high-level radioactive waste. Where's it going to be and when's it going to be open? Henderson Precinct is meant to do major submarine maintenance for potentially our submarines too. Where's the work? Or are you just doing another study? So there can be some demands like that, as well as, you know, I love that suitcase full of cash, but you should have brought four of them.
Now, so I think there are a number of things in play here. Now, one of the things I've seen from AUKUS boosters is like, well, there's nothing to see here because the risk profile hasn't changed since 2021 when we started going down this path.
Now, this is one of my favorites.
Now, first of all, I'm not sure the risk profile hasn't changed, but I would have thought 4 years in, it's a bad thing that the risk profile hasn't changed, because that means you haven't retired any risk. So, mm-hmm. and to my mind, the people who say it's on track, well, sort of, but what are the key risks that you have retired at this point? I don't really see them. Now, obviously, the three national legislatures have signed legislation, agreed mm-hmm. to legislation, saying we can share the technology
yep.
and we can sell each other submarines. Now, sure. Or that is a good thing for the yep. AUKUS process, yep. but was it ever a risk that they weren't going to do that?
No,
it was
that's
pretty
one
low
of
priority.
The low, easier ones, isn't
low
it?
Low likelihood.
And so, it's about paper and human decisions. It's not about technical matters like, have you got enough reactors? Is the steel being cut? Where are all the complex electronics coming from?
So I would argue that a lot of the risks have become clearer. Have they become worse? Maybe. I mean, well, because as we move through time, the time available to produce more submarines is evaporating, Ooh. And we haven't increased the production of submarines. So I would have thought that part of the risk profile has actually
increased. It has gone up.
Things that AUKUS supporters have pointed to say things are on track, such as Australians graduating from nuclear submarine school, that has not retired any risk. I mean, no one has ever said Australians are too stupid to be able to learn how to operate nuclear-powered submarines.
No.
The issue is, will we have the thousands of submariners we need?
To me, celebrating a small number of Australians, and we're choosing some of our best people, as going through training pipelines and graduating is a bit like, you're expecting a 10-course meal, but you're celebrating the little half cherry tomato garnish that you've got.
So overall, I would say the risk profile probably certainly hasn't improved. And in some ways, I would say has gotten worse. Now, the other thing that is going on here, of course, is if we go back to my great hero, Bent Flivbjerg, the guru of megaprojects.
The Fliv, as I call him.
The Flivers from yep. Denmark. So if he's Danish, well, it must yep. be bad because they want to protect Greenland from Trump. Getting in the way of Trump's
beautiful design for furniture.
So he says the first rule of mega projects, if you're running one, is to start digging the hole. Dig the hole as soon as possible.
As big as possible.
As big as possible, yeah. Because then the sunk costs start growing early. And the more the sunk costs are, the greater it is, harder it is to walk away from them.
The Enron model, you know, too big to fail.
Yeah, so yeah. the further you get into it, the bigger the sunk costs, and it becomes too big to fail. Yeah. So in a sense, while we haven't retired the risks, the hole has deliberately is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Get political and institutional commitment up as fast as you can so that it's hard to stop.
Yeah. So that hole, the hole of commitment and sunk costs, is certainly getting bigger.
Yeah.
All right, so...
But the other thing, talking about risk... There's been a major escalation in risk in the production pipeline, and it's not the US production pipeline, which we've talked about, it's the UK, because while we're all sleeping, in episode 44 we covered this, the UK has gone beyond being courageous. They've been heroically courageous in saying they're going to raise their own submarine numbers of attack submarines from, they've got 7 at the moment, to 12, and they're going to build them twice as fast as ever before.
Yeah, one every year and a half.
And they're going to be building bigger submarines twice as fast as they've built these smaller submarines.
While providing us the components for us to build our
So to me, this is completely irrational. I cannot understand the UK thinking now is the moment to add exponential risk into their own submarine production and into AUKUS. It is an extraordinary decision.
Is it extraordinary? Well, I do think it's a little inconsistent with some of the high-level observations in the UK Strategic Defence Review, where they said we've invested so much in exquisite platforms that we have huge holes in the rest of the force structure.
We've got a hollow force.
Yeah. So now they're going to invest even more in exquisite platforms. So as we said, the US is moving from 7,000 to 8,000 tonnes of production a year to 30,000 to 40,000 tonnes of production a year. The UK is now doing exactly the same thing between its own SSN programs, its SSBN program, and Snorkers for Australia. So this issue of senior partners being concerned about their own submarine capability because they're having to provide us with submarines, it's a US issue and a UK mm-hmm. issue, and it is one mm-hmm. that is going to extend for decades. Yeah. So even if we get through this review, it's not the end of the story.
No, I agree. So look, that's the emergency episode done, I think. So I think politically, it's got more difficult. Technically, it's got much more difficult, and our UK friends are just making that far worse.
Yeah, so I think we've got to wrap it up because I've got an interview with the Botswanan Daily to talk about AUKUS.
Okay, well, it's good to get some Africa coverage. I'm crossing to Latin America shortly because we've done Europe. One interesting thing, though, is this review is not even a news story in the US.
I did see a little headline in the failing New York Times website.
Under the crosswords, which tells us, actually, this is a fundamental political priority, AUKUS, here in Australia. It doesn't even make the sports page mm-hmm. in the US.
Yep.
So, interesting.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Thanks.